We're going to move on to the third part and look at Colossians, this very beautiful and mysterious hymn. But before I do, I want to say a few words about the psalm. I usually do this as I'm doing the second part of the presentation, but I thought today we should take our time with Abraham. And now we have this text. You see, it says it's a hymn of David. Who will dwell in your tent? And who will dwell on the mountain of your holiness? The one who walks tamim, holy, without, you know, gaps in his conduct, and who thinks the truth in his heart, you know, dober, he's saying the emet, saying the truth in his heart. You see the same notion of welcoming, huh? He doesn't do any harm to his fellow man, to his neighbor, he doesn't take up a reproach against his neighbor, he despises the reprobate. He despises the acts of the reprobate, the lying, the cheating, the dishonesty, and so forth. You see, I don't want to get involved in that. Has no patience for them. Then, an interesting one, who lends not his money at usury. If we put it in the bank, we're going to get interest even. What does he mean? He means, in our country, you see, in our culture, money makes money. So that if I lend money out, see, bushel basket of wheat, if I plant it, is going to raise, you know, 30 bushels of wheat. So, if I give a bushel to somebody, they ought to pay me back, but with some extra because I didn't get the 30 bushels, they did. I don't want the whole 30, but I want something, and that's called interest. So it's legitimate when a whole culture is founded on it, it can be the adoration of money. And that's why he says, who lends not his money at usury and accepts no bribes against the innocent. One who does these things shall never be disturbed. Okay? No, he will not be moved forever. I just wanted to finish that psalm, and now we're going to look at the letter to the Colossians, which is very mysterious. Now I rejoice in my sufferings for you. And I fill up what is lacking of the afflictions of the Christ in my flesh for his body, which is the church, of which I have become servant according to the commission of God given to me for you to complete the word of God, the mystery hidden from the ages and from the generations, but now manifested to his saints, to whom God willed to make it known what is the wealth of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, that is, Christ in you, that's the mysterion, the hope of glory. Him we preach, admonishing every man and teaching every man in wisdom, that we might present every man complete in Christ. Now let's go slowly over this. Now I rejoice in my sufferings for you. Nink chero, in the pathimasin iperimon. You see? And I fill up what is wanting to the tribulations of the Christ. How do we fill up? Aren't the sufferings of the Lord on the cross more than enough to atone for all the sins of humankind? Yes. But there's a mystery. The mystery is, as it said in this text, which is so full of it, the reality of Christ has to be in us, lived through in us, and rise with us. We have a part to play in this work. We bring the sufferings of Christ back down to earth where they can bless others. This is a law, you know. It's very beautifully stated in Romans 8, where he's talking about Paul is talking about prayer, and about, you know, and now I'm going to find this for you so we can read it. So in like manner, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit, comes to our aid of our weakness. For what we should pray for as we ought, we don't know. But the Spirit himself intercedes with unutterable groanings. And the one who is searching hearts knows the phronema, the desire, the preoccupation of the Spirit, that he is interceding according to God for the saints. What's going on there? I'm going to offer what I think is the explanation. Jesus is in heaven, always showing his wounds to the Father, always interceding for us. But there's a certain law that reality has to be back down on earth as well. You know, the great example of this is the Eucharist. Jesus didn't say, now when you get together, you think about my passion and you pray and, you know, you'll be changed. And no, you get together and you say these words, this is my body, this is my blood. Let the one ordained among you say these words, and I'm there. My reality in heaven, my body, with all the wounds it still bears, now present here on earth again. And that reality, that the mystery of God must be present on earth, is the mystery of the church. We just don't recall Christ's passion and resurrection. It's here, the risen Christ, fixed in the act of love in which he died, once more in an earthly dimension, sacramentally, but here, physically. That's the law of the incarnation. So, when the Spirit is praying and interceding, that too must have a this-worldly dimension, because it's the work of Christ, it's the presence and the prayer of Christ, huh? He who searches hearts, you say, knows the desire of the Spirit that he's interceding according to God for the saints, you see? That is, he's taking that prayer of Christ and putting it in our hearts. So from us, that prayer returns. It's the prayer of Christ once again on earth, where it has power. And that's the mystery of intercession. And that's what Paul is saying here, you see, in this text. Now, it's the same mystery in this. I rejoice in my sufferings for you, and I fill up what is wanting to the sufferings of the Christ. There's nothing wanting except an earthly presence once again. And so, Christ in me is suffering. I mean, this is, I live now, not I, Christ lives in me. Christ suffers in me. And what a privilege. What a privilege. You know, I've mentioned this before. There's a story about Saints Perpetua and Felicity. And they were Christian women, and they were arrested and thrown into prison to be martyred, thrown to the beasts. Perpetua was the mistress of the house, and Felicity was her maid. Felicity was pregnant, and she gave birth right there in the prison cell. And she was groaning and, you know, in pain as she gave birth. The jailer called in, if you're going to have that much trouble there giving birth, what are you going to do when you're out there with those beasts? And she said, you don't understand. Here, I'm suffering. There, another is suffering in me. I'm not worried about that. Because there, the sufferings of Christ are here again on earth in my body. What a privilege. The death of Christ is here again on earth in my body, in my act of loving when I die. This is the mystery, that we bear Christ in our bodies, as Paul tells us, and we are meant to make the mystery of Christ always present, his love, his forgiveness, his preaching, his suffering, his love for the Father, his prayer to the Father, his intercession, all of that. That's why we don't know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit prays with unutterable groanings, and the one who sees that, you know, he knows that he's praying according to the will of the Father. and that prayer is always heard. It's the same with these sufferings, you see. There's nothing wanting to the sufferings of Christ, there's nothing lacking, except the earthly presence once again in the church. All the saints have understood this, especially those, particularly contemplatives, mostly women, who have understood this. Look at Therese giving her whole life as a victim to the merciful love of God. Do what you want with me, just so long as your mercy gets out through me to the world, to the church, to the atheists, to the rebels, to the persecutors, to all of them. They've all done that. Saint Faustina, the same. Paul, it is now, you know, my joy to suffer for you and fill up in my body what is wanting to the sufferings of Christ. There's nothing wanting except that earthly presence in and through this presence of Christ in my body. You see, that's why we can't duck suffering all the time. That doesn't mean you don't go to the doctor. It just means that when there are moments, and then of course when we get toward the end of our life, it's what Felicity said to that jailer. Now it's just not me. It's someone else suffering in me. And that's what Paul is saying here. I make up what is wanting to the sufferings of the whole Christ, head and members, the Christ. And in so doing, you see, as he says here, to complete what is lacking of the afflictions of the Christ in my flesh for his body, which is the church. The church must bear the cross and the word of God and preach it in affliction, in mockery, in jail, in whatever, so that the word of God is there. Can you imagine what those saints have done? I mean, even in our day, Maximilian Kolbe, or Therese, or Faustina, or others, and the Padre Pio, who had the very stigmata in his body, the sufferings of Christ. In other words, there is a part of this mystery of sharing the sufferings of Christ that is allotted to us. And if we open our hearts to it when we're suffering, the Holy Spirit will so strengthen us and so make us realize what a privilege we have to be allowing the sufferings of the Christ to be present once more within the confines of human history, where they can be a blessing for the whole church. It's a wonderful mystery. Hard, yes, but beautiful. And that's what Paul is saying. You see, again, he has to welcome the word. He has to welcome this word of suffering in his own body, because he's sharing in the Christ and making the Christ's sufferings, which are infinitely sufficient, present once again on earth in his own body. And that's the mystery, you see? And so that's why he puts it, you see, I fill up what is lacking of the afflictions of the Christ. I translated it that way because it's really better. Look where I am. I'm reading Romans and trying to find Colossians. It's not there. It's in Colossians. Just give me a couple of more minutes. I want to just read this one more time, but you see what I'm saying? So the mystery is what? That we give ourselves to the Lord and say, come to me, live in me, work in me, act in me, I welcome you. Amen. Mm-hmm.